the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hiridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day! Oh, happy blessed place! Oh, happy blessed time! Oh, happy blessed path! Oh, happy blessed opportunity! In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Just a reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to monthly donors. Who'd like to get us started this morning? Scott.
Well, first of all, I think sometimes, moving circumstances can really kind of, where you normally live, can really highlight things. And one of the things that I'm really just really feeling this morning is just a ton of gratitude for how incredibly well cared for I am for life, by life, and it just feels like given everything I could possibly need plus some.
So just a ton of gratitude this morning for just really recognizing how incredibly cared for you are by life, and it's just having this backdrop of having suddenly everything just kind of thrown up in the air, and everything that is like normal and quote normal and usual being changed. But seeing, even though the circumstances, that content of your life has changed, that just seeing no matter what, there's just this incredible being cared for by life.
Mm-hmm. And just seeing that's really where I'd like to live, mm-hmm. what's actually occurring. And so I've been looking at kind of the kindness and where I'm living. And we had a conversation with Sherry yesterday about something that seemed kind of subtle to me at the time. And I think the process was really looking at, the circumstance had changed. And so therefore that kind of gave license to the identified human to step outside the guidelines, mm-hmm. to not follow what we normally do because we're in this kind of mm-hmm. specific situation. And I could just really relate to that, and specifically in the way of like not even really being aware that I'm being guided by egocentric karma conditioning, uh-huh. self-hate, because it just seems like me, and it seems so reasonable,
yeah.
and it seems actually caring.
Yeah. So just seeing that with circumstances changing, that the identification mm-hmm. may be coming up, and that in that identification it can just seem so real that what is normally wouldn't even be considered to, break a certain guideline, but in this circumstance, it's like, well, gosh, this just seems so, like this just needs to happen at this point, and not seeing it, not seeing that identification at the time, and mm-hmm. thinking that that's actually life, mm-hmm. Informing this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just kind of accepting a bit too about where I'm at in practice, which is, I happened to follow that guideline, but it was primarily came from a place of recently not following a guideline in a different content in a very similar situation, and just being super clear of, I don't really know, except for what I do know is that I'm going to trust the process, uh-huh. and that I'm going to communicate.
Uh-huh.
And that
uh-huh.
was it.
Uh-huh.
But when it was explained to us the kind of finer how we may be referencing conditioning, it was challenging to see that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, and it's just... first of all, I'm so grateful to have somebody in our lives who can point out that subtlety,
yeah.
because
yeah.
I just wouldn't see it.
Yeah. It's just, again, that gratitude to be in an environment and to have someone there to point out something that is so subtle that without that kind of guidance and that, one might say, just that deep love,
yeah,
it would just go unnoticed and
yeah.
unseen.
And it is a deep love,
yeah.
and it's a deep love, and it's an integrity, and it's a, I don't know what the right word is, but there's a passion
mm-hmm.
about it that
yeah.
wakes me up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can feel enough of an identity going, I can hear this conversation go, well, okay, it's not, come on. You know, like, this seems like a little, kind of a big reaction to
mm-hmm.
da-da-da-da-da, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like, well, I mean, I think it was on the news. You know, I can feel the me
yeah.
trying to defend itself.
Yeah.
Or and then I could hear this, there's a bigger point being made here.
uh-huh.
Which I've been practicing. You know, I think that comes from practice, to not get into the conversation or the content. But when there's that, you can sense that passion and love coming
yeah.
from the guide.
Yeah.
You just drop the conversation.
Yeah.
And allow your, I think what I saw was allow myself to be taken to the place that she's coming from.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Wow, so there's just an allowing of being taken to the place that the guide may be coming from, and the guide is coming from, and would you say that there's just this passion to maintain integrity and to just, you know, to just really recognize that.
Yeah, to be, you know, that fighting for the human,
uh-huh.
to be saving that life in that moment.
Yeah.
I just take that for granted, you know,
yeah.
or the threshold, you know. Well, a couple of things around that, the kindness piece that I noticed. There were just a couple of things that woke me up. I happened to be listening to Open Air from 2009, and... all of a sudden, I came on the radio show really briefly. It was my first retreat. It was Green Week, and everyone got to say something about, you know. And there he was, you know. And I just was like, oh, wow, that guy. And his innocence and
yeah.
his enthusiasm. And kind of highlighting right around that same time, I was on a walk in the neighborhood. And I walked through this park where there was like a bazillion soccer games going on. And I just happened to walk by and catch this conversation between a dad and his... what I project with dad and his daughter, and it was a cruel conversation, really cruel, you know, like you could feel it in your heart, like ow, and that was obvious. I don't want to live in that world, you know. But hearing the conditioned human's kind of innocence, I'm like, he's being subjected to that kind of thing a
yeah.
lot, actually.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and then to see. what I was speaking about earlier, about something that may even seem like, well, you're caring for others or you're taking responsibility by communicating to your family about the situation and the subtleties of that. It's like, wow, how much unkindness is he being exposed
yeah.
to that just seems like normal and that there's something judging whether it's okay or not and kind, and there's someone referencing whether that's okay, and if that's kind, and I'm like, that's all made up stuff. Just that conversation about kindness, and if he's in kindness, and how is he being treated, and it seems to be a land of conditioning.
Yeah.
Because when you're present, you're just in kindness, and that's it.
Yeah.
There's no evaluating it.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
is it, where's the threshold, or...
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just like, wow, okay. I mean, you know, we have these moments, but it's like... you just need stuff like that to highlight about where am I normally living, and wake up is the message, and do everything possible to stay in that process of waking up.
Wow. To just do everything possible to stay in that process of waking up. And having this experience currently to just really, you know, heighten that commitment to stay in the process of waking up. and to, you know, and again, in the kindness of life, you know, life having this, presenting this opportunity of seeing this really cruel conversation and knowing that that's not what you want for this being.
No, or any
being. Yeah.
And knowing that that best gift to everybody is to end that relationship here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so clear.
Yeah.
And just so grateful for this community. You're sitting in this living room, having this group. I mean, it's just like, that is the saving the being, to stay close. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just talking about, should we, you know, come together or just kind of people take care of themselves this morning? It's like, no, we're coming together because we know what happens when we, quote, go on our own. I know what happens to me. I'm watching it just where I'm living.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Hey, why don't we stop at McDonald's and get a fudge sundae on the way home? No. That sounds really great. No, you know, just, I mean, that one was obvious, but just these, you know, it's like, I need community, I need Sangha, I need the guide, I need the recording and listening, and I can't see a lot of things, I don't really understand where it's coming from, and that's fine. But the commitment is just to stay with the practice that's being offered to me and say yes.
Yeah.
I don't need to understand all the whys about it.
Right.
If that's to occur, that'll come in the transformation. So,
Boy,
I'm just feeling there's a lot here.
So the commitment to just stay with the practice, and it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to understand all the whys, but there's that commitment to stay with it. And just seeing that whole thing about, what we think is going off by ourselves, you know, who we're in company with.
Yes.
In that conversation.
Even if it sounds like no big deal.
No big deal.
Or might even be, it'll be great for other people if you do this.
It's
suspicious of any conversation.
Like we heard the guide mention yesterday, it is a collusion with the devil.
Yeah. Yeah, to see it that way.
See it that way.
That level of life or death is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. And those things that just seem so benign.
Yeah.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. Lakota.
So inspired. So inspired and so grateful for life giving us this moment. This experience that we're having right now, sitting in this room, having evacuated everything about it. It's kind of that experience of we never know how life works and the gifts that it's offering. And who knows that, I mean, in a way there's this feeling like maybe everything that just happened happens in order to be able to have the conversation we had yesterday. And to have the insights and awarenesses that are coming in today, I just got goosebumps and chills. Like, wow.
Yeah.
I saw also. I mean, I love that last conversation, and just a huge yes and an amen to everything there. And I see so much, in the wildland firefighting community. We have some things called watch out situations. They actually serve kind of at, like, the guidelines. They're kind of these things where if you notice that you're doing these things, it's a watch out. It's dangerous. You need to step back and reevaluate and see where you're getting your information and maybe make a behavior change.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very helpful.
And it's called a watch out situation.
Watch out situation. We go right to, better look out. So if you're out of communication, that's a watch out. If you're, you know, firefighting in a place you've not seen in daylight, that's a watch out. If you're constructing fire line downhill, that's a, these kind of things. We have them in practice, of course, as well, guidelines. And one of the things that I saw as I was driving in my car by myself away from the burning fire and toward the Bay Area, I was watching, I was aware of a life kind of watch out, like a guidance from life type of watch out situation, which is, and I've been seeing it everywhere, but I really saw it yesterday in bold, is it's obvious when I've kind of been colluding for a while and the energy's really low and I'm just depressed and it's like, blah, then I'm super vulnerable to having the energy drain off. That's super obvious. What's way less obvious is when the energy is really, really high mm-hmm. and excited and buoyant. Mm-hmm. That's all. I'm equally, maybe even more vulnerable in that uh-huh. circumstance. Uh-huh. And so what I was noticing is, and I see it in fire situations too a lot, when the human is under a lot of stress, as we all were, evacuating from our home and mm-hmm. running away from a fire, it's like there's a single point of focus of awareness, and you're just present. You're getting stuff done because there's that life is requiring it. Mm-hmm. But then once we all got in our cars and we were driving away, it was clear that we were safe. It was like, phew. Mm-hmm. And that kind of phew mm-hmm. thing, there's all that energy that was built up in being so present was available, mm-hmm. and there was a huge energy release. And without being aware of that happening, it's so easy for conditioning to grab that, in my experience, and just, and that's one of those watch out situations. In addition to being kind of off on my own, mm-hmm. kind of on a 2-hour car ride by myself or whatever, right? So I didn't break a guideline in the way that we talked about yesterday, as far as kind of, reaching out and communicating. And yet, I did at one point, I found myself like, just listening to some music. It was like, at some point, life came, I was like, wait a minute, what the heck is this? This is not something that we do. And then I checked in about that, I was like, yeah, and I totally saw that.
Wow.
You know? And then the conversation yesterday, man, it was so powerful. I got to see the conditioned reaction to it, which was, whoa, that's pretty harsh. Like, this is, you know, maybe not such a big thing, and we're just, wow, getting this really in-your-face, kind of straightforward message. Mm-hmm. Conditioning had that kind of resistant kind of response. But then the heart the whole time underneath that was just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And right on, and it took. I went instantly to that place of inspiration. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to spoil the movie because I don't like it when other people do that. But it reminded me so much of a scene in a movie from a movie called McFarland USA. And if people aren't familiar with it, I won't ruin it. But there's a scene where the team had a bit of a letdown. And the coach's response was to take them out on a workout. And he pushed them hard, really hard. And they went for just a fierce, brutal workout. And they finished it. And he said, do it again. And it was that moment in that movie where it was just like... conditioning is just like, how could you?
Yeah.
How could you do that to those?
Yeah.
They are trying so hard.
Yeah.
They are so sincere. They care so much. And they're given 110%. And now you're going to push them that much harder. And like, there's that conditioned thing of like, you're going to run them off. Mm-hmm. You're going to push them too hard. You're going to break them. And what you get to see in the movie, and I got to see it with us yesterday, is that the reason that that happened was it was out of pure love, and it was because that coach knows what we're capable of. That coach knows that we maybe gave a less than gave a little bit less than we could have. Mm-hmm. And that coach is unwilling to let us mm-hmm. give less than our very best. Mm-hmm. And it's all for us.
Yeah.
And that willingness to just draw that hard line and to be fierce in that asking for our very best.
Yeah.
It was definitely a goosebumps thing. And you know, in that movie, the coaches, it's going directly at the kind of team captain and this key player, and just pow. Mm-hmm. And they kind of had this thing, and it, you know, you get the sense that it wasn't like you can't script that kind of thing. You can't plan it. You can't plan it. And yet, life couldn't have scripted it more perfectly to be a more of a powerful and inspirational message for the entire team. That the entire team gets it, that it's essential that we give all we got and that we're capable of it. We're capable of greatness. And we're here to practice greatness. We're here to live that. And we have a coach that models that and asks us to step up to that.
Yeah.
And we can. And here we are doing it. The coach said, do it again.
Yeah.
And we did it again.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To just see that fierce love that just doesn't ever back down and sees our adequacy and says, you know, do it again.
Yeah.
Do it again. And in that process, our adequacy is seen.
Yeah.
You know, and and to just, to see that. And to also, the one of the, you know, recurring things in what you're talking about is just that, the heart, you know, just, you know, the heart noticed on that ride, and you know, like, you know, this seems a little off.
Wait a minute. You know?
and just really brought it back. And then you were describing it, the next situation, which just completely left me. But what I heard, you just saying over and over again that even though there was this, kind of veering off, this, what you were talking about is the siphoning off of energy.
Right.
Yeah, and how that, you know, would want to take place. And yet there was this other thing that was going on as well, this constant being reminded of what the commitment was and coming back to that, seeing conditioned mind go on, you know, seeing everything. But then there was this coming back and coming back and coming back.
It's that passion. It's the passion for waking up that the guide models and that is in every one of us. That's there's that resonance between the two. And to just acknowledge too that, I mean, this is high level stuff. This is a profoundly challenging circumstances that we're working with the last couple of days. In my experience, practicing out in the world, when my schedule is disrupted, or I'm traveling, or I'm doing something different, or I mean, gosh, huge life disruptions, evacuating from a wildfire, but any kind of major life disruption or transition, death in the family, a divorce, a health issue, the really real stuff, boy, it's the easiest thing in the world for our commitments and practice to just profoundly challenging to stick with it. And that's what we were being invited to do. It's cool.
I just can't help but be reminded of the horse story, you know, where the horse, you know, the guy loses his horse, and you know, is, you know, maybe yes, maybe so. Right. And there's this whole circumstance that would just be like, oh my God, this is just
Is it unfortunate?
I don't know. Who knows? You know, maybe yes, maybe no. Yeah. And all, you know, to just, see the incredible.
Very fun.
What each moment is bringing.
Yeah, feeling really, held. Really kind of carried along by life.
Thank you. Jen?
Actually, suddenly there's just a little bit of emotion there, and that's interesting. But, boy, I just had such a sense on Friday, especially Thursday night, we realized we could see the flames. And that was a moment.
Yeah.
To just, we knew there was a fire, but, you know, we were, you know, really on top of it, doing everything, you know, walking the steps we needed to walk to make sure we were safe, and to suddenly be walking down the path and just look up. And then to watch just the training kick in. I've just seen so much about our training in this time. And just the, okay, we can see flames. All right, what's next? Mm-hmm. You know, just at every point, okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. What's next? Mm-hmm. But the thing I had such a strong sense of, you know, as we were leaving the monastery, and the monastery has been my home for a huge portion of my life. Mm-hmm. And I just had such a tremendous sense of, wow, you know, it's nature, you know, fire. It's not evil, you know?
Yeah.
And it starts things over.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And I just had this tremendous sense of, maybe it starts things over.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was so interesting. What made me think of it, I think, Sequoia, as you were talking about the guy with his horse, right? So then yesterday, it started to look like, maybe that isn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When we had the conversation that folks are talking about, I thought, or maybe it just did happen.
Mm-hmm. Ah, wow. Got goosebumps with that. Yeah.
That the fire just came through and it started over.
Yeah. Whoa. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And that place of incredible humility, of thy will be done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That maybe the monastery is going to burn, maybe the monastery isn't.
Yeah.
You know, not being in that place of trying to protect or hold on to, especially including my, in quotes, ego.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so much in that. Yeah.
You know, if it needs to burn, let's put it in the fire as quickly as we can.
Wow, that's practice, isn't it? If it needs to burn, let's put it in the fire as quickly as possible.
It's that thing of, some other folks might know the details, but the, you know, Jesus being told, exactly. Jesus being told, you know, don't go there, they're going to kill you.
Yeah.
And he says something along the lines of, if it's my Father's will that I be killed, then I just, hurry on my way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Gosh, and it just, as I say that, it's like, at least for me, there's such a tremendous sense of, gosh, assist me. this small little, you know, I, who believes so deeply in itself, and yet in the heart there's such a tremendous seeing the other possibility.
Yeah, yeah.
And so such a desire to be assisted with that. And then when it, you know, when it comes right to it, it's like, well, not that way. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and it's such a tremendous opportunity in that moment.
Yeah.
Because it highlights the front lines of the fire.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I want to be in charge of my transformation.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And to be able to, at that point, see, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it doesn't feel good, and maybe whatever happens. But the thing that's interesting that I'm really looking at is that it only really can be painful if we stay in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Without the conversation, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like the difficulty of it, the whatever of it, doesn't exist. If the conversation is not, if we don't participate in the conversation, there's no way for ego to create suffering with it.
Yeah.
Which is it's such an amazing place, because of course it's all a complete setup to get to that point of all the conversation that's going to come in at that point.
Yeah.
And if we don't go to the conversation, the whole setup turns into a win.
Wow.
For the human being.
Yeah. Yeah. If we don't go to the conversation, no matter what it looks like.
No matter what.
And the whole thing turns into a win for this being.
Mm-hmm.
Because indeed, it's the only in the conversation that the suffering is created.
Truly.
And you know, just that, as you were speaking, just that image of, you know, being in the heart, just like this blazing, blazing fire that just, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's just going to consume everything in its path if we give in, you know, just like give in to it.
Right.
And we watch these things, you know, come up to be consumed in the resistance that, oh, no, not that, not that, you know, and just stand there still in the fire.
Yeah.
That's so impersonal.
It's so impersonal.
And it just is, you know.
Yeah, that was coming up for me.
Yeah,
and then to just, you know, to use that image of fire, you know, so a wildfire rages through for acres and acres and acres, and then everything starts to grow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's that, wow, it's just that. You know, there's, I don't know, I've been experiencing this, like, yes, go, reclaim what needs, you know, what needs to be reclaimed.
Right.
You know, it's all part of the process.
Yeah.
And it's, it is that sort of hanging on thing. It's just such a relief to let go and to not.
You know, and it's so perfect, Sequoia, because as you said that, I saw it articulate something. I was sort of on the edges of my awareness that it can seem like it's much easier to have that attitude when your house burned and mine didn't.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then, because I was looking at it, one of the things I was very aware of on Friday and Saturday was that there wasn't a lot of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what happened, something that I was looking at a concrete, you know, I don't know what it was, but anyway, it brought real to me, you know, losing the physical place, and I watched the emotion arise. Mm-hmm. What I realized was, I mean, I don't know, but it feels like that some of our training is we haven't lost the monastery, and so the system doesn't go there because we're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And that I could just sense that. I think conditioning had a story like, oh, will you not care? Or, and I just realized that if and when we get to that point, that's what will be there to be with.
Yeah.
But it's not here now.
Yeah.
It's not here now.
Yeah.
You know? But just that, so the connection I was making as you said that, you know, let it come through, is, at least this is true for me, that it can feel easier to receive guidance when it's not me, not my house burning, you know, but boy, to be able to be in that place of let it burn, even if it's my house, that's the place.
That's the place. Yeah, to just let it burn.
Which doesn't mean we don't have all the human responses to that.
That's great.
And the thing that here's the other thing I saw, and then I'll be quiet. But, but I saw how we, at the monastery, we live a very public life in some ways. I mean, that's sort of an irony, isn't it? Because we live a very secluded life. But I was very aware of, I mean, there were thousands of people evacuating. And chances are good that everyone had somewhere to go, but we had a lot of places to go.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who would be there for us. And I just had that sense of, it's such an interesting thing that the, in a way, the more you let go, the more life just gives you. You know, because we see it. You know, when people are displaced for any reason, most people want to stand up and say, I'll help. I want to help. You know, so I guess I've thought of that because, so there, you know, one gets to the place of, if my house is going to burn, you know, let it burn. But it's not as if life leaves us alone with
Exactly. Exactly. And you might say that behind that, you know, just let it burn, is that deep knowing that life is
exactly
there, and it's you know, We have no more control over the content of our lives and what that might look like, but we do know from repeated experience that it's not going to be abandoned by life.
And that's one of the gifts, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because when we can stay in the illusion of control of our lives, we never get to experience that, in fact, A, we're completely not in control of our lives ever.
Yeah.
But B, that's fine. You don't need to be.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to live a life of being in control or, you know, trying to get, just make sure and keep mine and do this and get what I need. And it's miserable.
Miserable.
Because we're being kept from actually receiving that. Yeah. We have everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when that arose earlier and just said that, let it burn, that comes from that place.
Exactly.
Of knowing that experience of trying to control
everything
and how miserable that is, and then get to that point of just like, been there, done that, tried that, just, you know. Thy will be done.
What a good image a wildfire is for that, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to stand up on the ridge, don't burn my house!
Lisa?
So it feels like there's really nobody in here that wants to share, except... except there's this big willingness. And it's the willingness that brought me here. It's the part that wants that you know, that wants that fire to come through, and wants to see, and it wants to work through stuff. Except, you know, not this stuff, or not this way. And I see a really pivotal process that I go through. So, you know, going along and feeling like she's doing the right thing, you know, letting people know everything's okay. You know, doing the 2-hour drive and really staying mostly present, you know, not going to the radio, not doing, you know, some other things that kind of came up. Oh, well, now I'm going to choose this. I'm going to, you know, stay with the mentor and talk through things as I'm driving. And so then what happens is, you know, something is pointed out that, you know, something was wrong. And it's either it can be externally pointed out or internally pointed out. And at that point, and I can feel her there right now. So there's this it's not that someone comes up to deal with that. It's like there's all these folks there, and someone says, "Okay, so your volunteers, please step forward." And everyone takes a step back, and there's this young person just hanging out there. You know, and she didn't want the job, and she really doesn't feel capable of dealing with it, and yet there's no one else there, and her instinct is to run and hide, and so she really doesn't deal with it. You know, she just runs and hides, and I see that that's where I get stuck. You know, and it might be on a daily basis, or it might not be for a month, or it might be months, where doing good, bam. And in her words, It's not that she did something wrong. It's that she's the wrong person. And it means that she's not acceptable. And it means that she's not worthy. And that's where, when my practice, that's where I run up against, that's where I stop. And she doesn't get a practice anymore. Because she's not worthy of it. And so I really saw this yesterday, along with seeing a whole bunch of other things. And at first it felt like self-hate, you know, like, okay, I'm feeling bad, feeling all this grief. Because there's this beating coming. But the willingness was there to stay and not run away. And just walk into it. And let it be hard and let it be painful. And just go through it. And so I was able to work through a lot of that and hear her. It wasn't really self-hate. It was this little person who just gets slammed.
So are you saying that when that recurring pattern started happening of just wanting to run and to not face it, and you know, it sounds like you're describing like this really young person is just left there, feeling, you know, responsible and quote bad and that not worthy, that instead of you saw that happening and you stood by and it sounds like were present to the feelings that were arising and just watched what was going on, and you saw a whole lot in that.
Yeah, that willingness was able to be there with her and go through it. Uh-huh. Not watching, but go through it with her. Go through it together.
Okay. It sounds like she had someone just standing there with her, knowing that she knew she wasn't alone.
Yeah, and so I was able to did about 2 hours of recording and listening and came to a place of gratitude and some peace with it. And so I thought, okay, well, that's, you know, that's done. Put that away. And then when we were doing the snack prep last night, boy, she came back and it was really, really, really strong, like 10 times stronger than going through that, what I went through earlier, or what she went through earlier. And it sounds so funny from this vantage point, but just working along in the kitchen and noticed that the corn had been added to the salad, and she just went nuts. And so then I wasn't going to be able to have any. And then in her little, I don't know, 10-year-old mind, 8-year-old mind, that meant that that she didn't belong, and that no one wanted her, and that she needed to leave. And just nobody had said anything, but the salad was communicating this. And it seems so silly now, but boy, there was so much emotion there. And then she just sobbed through the whole sit, the whole 30 minutes. Just kept coming. The willingness was just there.
So during the sit, the willingness kept arising to just be present and be with that. It
kept her on the cushion.
Uh-huh.
And not run out the room, out the door, down to the airport. Just constant talking to her the whole time. Mm-hmm. And toward the end, I had this really clear image of, I was holding the mentor's hand, and then I was holding that little person's hand on the other side of me. Mm-hmm. And you know, just that the mentor was supporting me, supporting the willingness, supporting the being. And then because of that, I could support, on my other hand, I could support that that younger person who really needed that that assurance that, you know, being the right person doesn't have anything to do with being acceptable. Mm-hmm. Doing the right thing doesn't have anything to do with being acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Doing the right thing doesn't have anything to do with being acceptable.
Yeah.
And you had the experience of the mentor there, and that, and it sounds like you were really in touch with the willingness that's there. The willingness to just stay, not run, to just be here, and more of a sense of that young part being acceptable exactly the way she is.
Yeah. So you know, I promised her that I wouldn't let her get pushed out front, and I would, the adult would. Mm-hmm. Step up and take care of those situations, and mm-hmm. and that she can let me know when she's scared, and mm-hmm. so we can talk through the running away. And mm-hmm. She doesn't need to do that, and, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot, and then another 2-hour recording thing. I wish I'd brought my walking shoes, but they're they're back at the monastery. But so there's just been a lot. Going on, and it keeps feeling like, well, I can put that away. No, you can't put that away yet.
So there's a wanting to just be, it's kind of, I get the image of, well, that's handled, you know, and then, yeah, yeah. It's interesting. It's, who would want that to just
someone,
be handled? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I can guess.
Yeah.
Something wants that to just be put away, and don't go there, and don't look there, and okay, you're done with that. Mm-hmm. But no, again and yet again. Just, it's okay, mm-hmm. and just keep. And so, I'm so grateful for the willingness. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that I stayed on the cushion, mm-hmm. and I'm so grateful for all the support. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boy, it's just full circle, isn't it? About how we started the group with that gratitude. And, to just be that willingness you describe is, again, you know, that commitment to the heart that people have been referring to, the commitment of the heart that just mm-hmm. hangs in through the fire, you know? Mm-hmm. And as was spoken earlier, you know, gosh, the fire's... Maybe the fire's already happened, you know? and it's expressing itself. And what I see this morning is just that fire's expressing itself in a way that each of us are ready for.
Yeah, it feels like life is really giving me what I need.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, on Friday,
mm-hmm.
I felt so taken care of. As mm-hmm. we were driving away.
Yeah.
I really did. I just felt safe, mm-hmm. as odd as that sounds. Mm-hmm. You know, driving down, you could see this huge purple-black smoke, you know,
mm-hmm.
coming right over, you know, the hill. And I felt so taken care of and so safe and so able to trust.
Yeah.
that we were going to be taken care of. And I wasn't worried about being in charge. I knew that there was going to be a place for us to go. Mm-hmm. And I was going to get everything I needed for the body mm-hmm. and the person. And I didn't even have a thought that things might not be okay. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So, and then they were okay in every way. Yeah. You know? And so life gave me what I need. Mm-hmm. In the physical sense and in the growth yeah. sense.
Yeah. It's like Jen was pointing to earlier. It's like everything
without the story.
Yeah.
You know, right here, right now, it's everything's okay, and there's that deep trust in life. Yeah. And that willingness, I just want to say, and the willingness just coming up, picking up the recorder and recording as long as necessary to support the being, and just to have that, just to acknowledge that willingness.
Just every single thing that's been said this morning just resonates completely, and I'm just feeling very, very grateful. Mm-hmm. And I can see a process of being all right or doing well, and so the human gets abandoned and doesn't get supported, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of hyper-competent survival mm-hmm. thing. And so I just want to do the opposite, you know, kind of do the opposite of what that hyper-competent survival thing is mm-hmm. trying to mm-hmm. get going, where the human would say something, you know, and there would be like a composure or a doing well, and then she, there's no like connection with what's actually going on with her.
Integrity with it, or
right.
yeah,
that what's congruity?
It's not congruant. You know exactly. What's coming out of the bean's mouth is it's fine. I'm doing well, and then you know,
yeah. So we're going for that congruity.
That's funny. I see a lot of fireworks going on. Yeah, that's a bad analogy, but anyway. Yeah.
Exactly. So even if the congruence is all like wiggly and mm-hmm. like you just did that, then. That's what I'm practicing. Because like around the conversation we had with the guide yesterday, there was a recognition that around that particular little content, I've seen that. On Friday I'd seen the impulse arise to contact people. And there was an awareness that they have no idea what's going on. And so the kindest for all is to say nothing. Because information that says we're safe would be more worrying than what, right? And so there was like a move to that hyper-competent survival. Oh, I'm doing well because I saw that. And, I wasn't controlled by that particular bamboozle. Meanwhile, a billion other ways, that same process is going on. So it would want to mm-hmm. cover over its tracks.
Yeah.
By saying, oh, well, I did very well with that one because I saw it. It was very subtle and I saw it. Meanwhile, this like unsubtle sledgehammer of abuse, you know? So I just wanted to say that and out it rather than like staying all controlled and composed. And so, yeah, the word that keeps coming up is receiving. Receiving, mm-hmm. receiving. As we were driving away from the monastery on Friday, there was just this enormous receiving of practice and the miracle of it. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just an image, meditation hall, and the miracle of how everything is intentionally designed to support awakening presence.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. No agenda, just the simplicity of that.
Yeah.
And what a miracle that is. So the miracle of turning a cushion to face a wall so that the human being has the best possible chance of seeing all the ways that they cause themselves to suffer so they can drop that and end suffering. The miracle of that. The miracle of how we've done that this morning to face these sofas. Just the receiving of the miracle of that.
Yeah. Wow. The receiving of the miracle of practice.
Yeah.
And to and what you're saying too, it just sounds like, and seeing how that's carried with us.
Yeah.
You know, to just, you know, leave the monastery and to, you know, and to be filled with gratitude for the practice and the opportunity to sit facing a blank wall, to have that opportunity to see everything that causes suffering in our lives, and then and how we cause ourselves to suffer, and then to see here we are transported into an entirely different environment this morning, and here we are turning to face our metaphoric blank wall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was, and just there was, and then just on the drive down, there was that, like, there was a quote card that was dropping in. Just let every thought, word, and deed serve only one thing: to awaken. Mm-hmm. Right. That focus of, I want all energy to be available for life. And it, like, there's that first conversation really resonated about seeing all the unkindness that had been being allowed or being somehow normal or okay, that that there was an awareness even of how much assessment was going on of, well, how present were you on Friday morning, you know, when you saw those, you know, like, just there was that feeling of, I don't know, a line in this, I don't, just a waking up or a,
in the line in the sand you're referring to is that one of no more abuse for this being, you know, and just seeing, oh my God, the unkindness of, you know, wanting to judge, you know, whether you, how present were you and how perfectly, you know, didn't say this, but, you know, did I do practice that morning?
Right, exactly. And just, there was in that, there was, like, it's that same, that process of receiving, like a seeing the human practicing and just kind of celebrating, really.
So there was just a real seeing, a real awareness of the human practicing and that celebration for that, again, commitment, that to waking up and ending suffering.
Yeah, and I can feel just even as we're talking, like, that the the congruence, like, it's changing. There's that, like, the settling there, because I think there's just the the system can feel that there's somebody who's like, there's just a that being real about what's going on.
Exactly.
So the energy like calms a bit.
Just in that, again, it goes back to that integrity, doesn't it? So you feel that calming as there's that integrity of acknowledging what's so, and all being held in acceptance, and everything starts to calm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That just compassion of letting everything be as it is.
Thank you. Can we have a little?
We have time for it. Yes.
I mean, I'll try to keep it short. I know we have 4 seconds left. Right?
I have a minute on my watch.
I don't know if I can keep it that short, but I'll do my best. But I just wanted to piggyback on what was just said about the brilliance of, in, you know, setting, just how everything is set up for in this practice to wake up and in suffering. And just yesterday, while we were cooking in that kitchen, I don't know what other experiences of that were, but I just wanted to burst out laughing so many times. I found it so fun and funny and endearing and sweet, and as I was waiting for a cutting board, I was filled with so much gratitude for, I'll say, you people, but you know it's larger than that. It's this, it's community, it's Sangha, it's this whole approach to life that we've dedicated ourselves to, that we've found. Thank you, guide, and thank you, life, and everything. The words that dropped in was, this is such a fun game, and I couldn't have found anyone else in the world who would want to play it with me. You know? Like, let's all pay really close attention in silence in a very small space with only a few utensils, and let's try to put a meal together. You know, or whatever, you know. Like, that was the content. That was the chapter of that game. But it could be, okay, let's run away from a fire, and let's pack up what, like, let's just say, take what you need for 2 days, okay? Everybody go see what you see, and then later we'll look at it together. Ready, go. You know, I mean, whatever the chapter is that we're playing, you know, and we're playing it together with the guidelines that we all do our very level best to follow, support, and are grateful for when we get hit up with a 2x4 to that. Okay, no, this was an important guideline. Don't forget this one. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, and it takes a while to get to the okay, thank you part, but it does. But eventually we do. You know, and it's just such a, I don't know, pure gift, grace, whatever the word, big enough to express the gratitude for getting to play that game in this lifetime. Wow. It's just huge.
Wow. To just really see, I mean, yeah, this whole opportunity. And the word game is interesting, too. Not in the sense of something frivolous, but, you know, something...
playful is the word that I was really communicating. It's just the sense of play.
Yeah.
Not taking ourselves or not having that seriousness that conditioning brings to everything. It's innocence.
It's innocence, yeah.
Because, you know, that's another thing. I'll just interrupt your reflection. But because I just saw what I think was... that moment that I described, you know, Friday evening, when I saw that deer eating the apple while I was parking the car ready to load up to run away from the wildfire, and that young deer was reaching up for that apple and just able to get it, the innocence in the face of fire and maybe almost certain death, well, certain death sometime, but maybe even soon, and all of that, and that somehow was embodied in what I was just talking about. You can reflect some of it so I can see it.
So and that same kind of innocence you noticed with the young deer, just, you know, being present, having that apple, like you said, the strawberry and the guy, you know, on the cliff, just there enjoying what's in front of us, and then seeing that same sort of process going on with cooking dinner of just like, you know, here we are, this is what we have, but it's thank goodness for practice and the guide and all that. There's this bigger awareness, you know.
That's it.
This is an opportunity to see everything.
Yeah.
And I am given this gift of being able to, to grab this opportunity with others, and that we can, like, come together and practice this together, and also speak to it, you know, and see... what is that? What is coming up? See the non-separation in all of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
That phrase has been over and over in my mind the last 24, 48 hours. There is no self in others. Yeah. As the pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness, there is no self in others. Yeah. And that, it is that reveals or reconnects or some, you know, rejoins us to that innocence that we're able to really, that I was projecting onto the deer, the puppy, the fish, that we've been talking about in recent days, that innocence is what we are.
Yeah.
Even in the face of
right.
all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And we get to be that.
Yeah.
You know, because of willingness and practice and sangha and bodhi and dharma.
Would you say that we just get to reconnect with that?
Mm-hmm. Realize that's what we are.
That's what we are.
Thank you.
Thank you all.